Get ready for a brand new season of Sports Talk. Join Ian Levenstein, Jason Green, Joey Maggs, and all the rest on The Sporting Goods. Mondays from 3 to 4 on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. It's all part of the 5-Hour Sports Block on Mondays.
Fellow geek brethren, you have come to the right place for all of your gaming, gadgets, technology, anime, video games, comic books, and anything else you can think of. It is Geek Speak here at SpeakGeekSpeak.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, live from Brooklyn, New York, Ian Levenstein.
Everybody, my name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to Geek Speak here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. And of course, we are podcasting at speakgeekspeak.com. Episode 32 of the Geek Speak podcast, a little early in the week, but hey, that just means you get to listen to it earlier, so it's all good for you. And on today's episode, I am joined by a blast from the past, as it were, for the two of you who were listening while we were on Brooklyn College Radio before Geek Speak was a podcast. It used to be this guy's show, so it's all good. Ladies and gentlemen, the host of Red Shift Radio, Marvin John.
I should be, yeah, here's the time where I should be actually speaking, right?
Something like that. That would work.
Okay, so...
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm doing just peachy.
I like what you've taken, like, how you've taken my show and you kind of, like, went off in your own direction with it. I definitely like what's coming out of the show.
Well, that's certainly a good thing to hear.
And it's completely different from what we used to do before. What we used to do before is we would just sit around here and talk about something completely random.
Yes.
For an hour. And somehow, some way, shape, or form, it kind of tied with geekdom.
Yes.
And that was what the show was. And now it's kind of gone, you know, it's gotten structure. Now Ian goes over, like, news of the week and everything like that, and it's all good.
The works, exactly. Like, whatever the hell is good out there, that's what we end up talking about, and it's all good. And just like you talk about whatever the hell is good out there in the world of video games.
Yes, well, Redshift Radio is a podcast that I do along with my co-host Liquid, located at redshiftradio.com. We do a podcast that goes over the news of the week in the gaming industry and just whatever else in the world of gaming in general. And it's usually really funny banter every episode.
Yeah, and also, by the way, you have amazing equipment that you're working with. I mean, you've got your own little studio just set up in your apartment. You don't even do it over here, which is a plus for you.
Yeah, so. I have a USB mixer and a Lesis Multimix 8, and I also work with two Behringer C1 mics.
Wow.
And it costs a pretty penny, but it was worth the investment, definitely.
Definitely. How much did that cost you in the long run?
I think in the long run it cost me a good $250.
Not bad. That's not bad. Well, that's less than I paid for my MP3 player, so
right.
It's all good. Yeah. Now, one thing that we definitely need to mention here is that you're taking the experience that you had here and going in your own direction. Now, what sort of things do we expect week after week on Red Shift? Now, I know that you do focus on the news, but also, are there specific segments that we should be looking forward to or anything along those lines?
Well, we just started the podcast. We're up to episode 3 right now. It's online and on the web. What we do usually, we go over in the news, and if there's any comments with mail and stuff like that, we'll go over that. But a lot of times, it's just we're kind of like finding our form right now, so the basic structure for now is news and then going over comments and just whatever else. And whatever else usually involves like my adventures in World of Warcraft, because I'm completely like addicted to that. If Liquid has like went to a Tekken 5 tourney because he's a competitive Tekken 5 player, we'll go over that. And it's a whole big bag of just gaming stuff that we bring to the table.
Yes.
So it's not like we have like, you know, how you have the wind up, which I'm surprised that you do to this day.
Hey man, that was a part of the show from the beginning.
Yeah,
that was my nice little slice of heaven there. And
yeah,
well,
it was. Ian did not want to part with that. It was like, okay,
yeah.
I was like, dude, you know, this sports geekdom, you know.
Well, look, you know what it is? It's like when Jon Stewart took over The Daily Show from the years before he was around, and there were maybe two segments that stuck with him, and that's it. One of which was your moment of zen.
Yeah.
So I guess that's my moment of zen.
But he didn't keep 5 questions. I love
No,
five
he
questions.
Didn't. Well, he took that with him.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, I mean, when the man himself left The Daily Show.
Craig Kilborn,
he took that with him because, well, that was his staple, and without that, he would have never survived in the world of late night, so.
Ow. Ouch.
Oh, come on. It's true, man.
He used to do a SportsCenter, right?
Yeah, he did. And when he did SportsCenter, he knew nothing about sports.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you at all. He was a news guy.
Okay.
Basically, he basically was just taken off for his personality and went on there and would just talk about sports and pretend that he knew what he was talking about.
Wow.
Which is wonderful. Kind of like what I do. So, it's all good. Now, you have a theme to the show. Now, who is the lovely person who composed that for you?
That would be Liquid's brother, Dyer, who is well-known for his Mr. Game of Watch in the Super Smash Brothers competitive scene.
Jed said in real life.
He's a devil with Mr. Game of Watch, and he was actually on MTV's True Life, I'm a Pro Gamer Part 2.
Wow.
He was the guy in the QuakeCon 10 shirt, and I happen to be wearing this right now, as if you could see it. But he's the one wearing that QuakeCon shirt holding a TV.
Oh, wow.
And I was bugging out because I was like, oh my god, not only did you plug Super Smash Bros. Melee, but you managed to plug QuakeCon and, and your strength in holding a TV in your two hands. I was like, that is just completely awesome.
So he was just hulking out.
Yeah, basically. But wow. But he came up with the theme. We just got the theme for episode 3, so we're actually kind of excited by that.
Yes, and a reminder to my listeners out there, for anybody who does have talent in making a theme, I like the theme that we have now. It's a lot better than the Ian Lewis theme that I put together in approximately 5 seconds before the first episode of Geekspeak. Anybody who does indeed want to make me a theme, you know where to send it at speakgeekspeak.com. There we go. Time for a blooper. speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. You'll be able to send it over there. And once again, the prize is a copy of Avengers Forever, one of my favorite trade paperbacks, a collection of music I play on the show. And I might be adding a couple things here and there, like a couple of extra comics that I got doubles of because I am stupid and go to the store and just randomly pick up things that look awesome. And then I realize, oh, crap, I have two of these. So
I was going to make a rendition of the theme as like an example to everybody in the audience on what not to make.
Okay.
And it was going to be like this hideous hair metal theme with
Holy crap. And
all this poison influence nonsense.
Wow.
I didn't go through with it, thank God.
Poison influence, of all things. Wow.
The greatest 80s rock band ever.
You are damn right, man.
Hair metal defined in Poison.
Definitely.
But I mean, I was going to do that for you guys, but I'm not going to.
I think we're all better off that way.
Yeah.
I mean, mind you, it would have been really fun to hear, and I think it would have been hilarious, and probably would have gone down in the annals of history as quite possibly the worst opening ever in the history of man, but... It would be intentional, so it's all good. It's not like somebody sending me in something and be like, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not a tragedy. It's a parody because of the fact that it's on purpose.
Definitely, of course. Yeah, and I pretty much just swallowed the mic while saying that. Fantastic. All right, now, since you are the video game guru as it is,
yes.
Now, what stories have you been following over the past couple of weeks that you might want to share with us that we might not know about?
Well, interesting story. I don't know if you went over this, but we've been covering a few episodes ago. We covered the fall of the UMD format.
Ah, yes.
Now, the UMD format is known as that's what the PSP uses to run games. And also, if you actually bother to look past the games, you have a library of movies and stuff like that. Now, many major studios have decided, well, you know what? Nobody's really buying these UMDs, so we're going to kind of like drop our support for it. And me and Liquid see it as a good thing because, well, now you can just take the format and just concentrate on games. The whole thing was, and the logic behind it is so funny. I mean, if you get a large memory stick duo, which is the memory format that the PSP uses.
Yeah.
If you get a large memory stick and you just take a utility and rip a DVD, and there are many free and, available retail utilities to rip your DVD movies and make them into a PSP viewable format, all people do is rip their DVDs, put it on the memory stick, and just look at a movie that way. Why do I need to pay $14 for just lack of content? It's the regular price of a DVD, UMD, but I mean, you don't get commentary, there's no deleted scenes, it's just bare bones, just the movie.
It's everything but the goods, basically. I mean, you're just getting picture, and I mean, quite frankly, you're probably going to get better quality from ripping it yourself than you would on those UMDs. I mean, I've seen the quality looks somewhat decent, but not nearly as good as if you did it yourself.
It's getting up there. A friend of mine actually rips anime episodes onto his PSP, and they just look fine.
Yeah.
They look completely fine.
Well, that's like, I can't wait to start ripping episodes of Lost and stuff like that onto my ZenVision M once I actually get that, because it just downgrades it. I mean, it goes from the 720 to the 320, and it's an HD quality screen. So I'll be salivating over that.
Definitely.
Yes.
We've also been going over on the show the comeback of Tomb Raider with the release of Tomb Raider Legends that came out last week. We actually played the demo on the Xbox 360, and we were actually impressed.
Really?
Because, I mean, the later Tomb Raider games, the first one was great.
Yeah.
And we have this whole syndrome where if the demo of a game is, like, just fun to play, then the game's going to be great. And Tomb Raider 1 had that syndrome. It was, like, one of those games along the lines of Intelligent Cube and some others that escaped me.
Yeah.
We played Tomb Raider Legend, and it has that feel of the original tomb, like you're actually raiding tombs. Because, I mean, Lara has been all over the world, ladies and gentlemen. in past games, she's been in cities and all kinds of ridiculous stuff. And
she also had gigantic lips for a while, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, but I mean, it just kind of veered off. And now you have Toby Gard, who worked on the original Tomb Raider. He was a designer. He worked on Legend now, and it's got that original feel. The graphics are there. The ambient sound is there. It's all come together to make what seems to be a great game.
Excellent.
And it's finally coming out on the GameCube, which is the first time a Tomb Raider game has come out on a Nintendo home console in a couple months now. But right now it's going to be available for the PC, for the Xbox, PS2, 360. And I think the PSP version is coming out soon, if anybody even cares at this point.
You know, we've been seeing a lot of exclusive titles that have been going on to a whole bunch of different consoles as of late. I mean, like, for instance, you haven't really seen a real Final Fantasy game, unless it was a Chronicles game, on a system other than the PlayStation for a long time now. And now you've got it coming out for Xbox, and you've got it coming out for a couple other systems as well.
Yeah, Final Fantasy XI, the MMO, is coming out for the 360 sometime soon.
Yeah.
So.
Now, do you feel that this is a shift in gaming? Do you feel that exclusives are a way of the past, or does it mean, well, you're just getting a whole bunch of stuff that used to be exclusive, getting better deals with other companies?
Well, to kind of break it down, gaming has become, it's become more of a money-making business. Well, that's what it is. It's a business now. So, I mean, the only way that a game's going to be profitable is if it hits as many bases as possible. Now, of course, you have exclusives like Metal Gear Solid for the PS2 or Mario on Nintendo and Zelda on Nintendo, and that's going to sell definitely. But, I mean, more games that are like third-party games especially aren't really exclusive. They're multi-platform. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, there are definitely titles that are exclusive that have done very well for themselves, like the ones I've mentioned. Also, God of War for the PS2. That is an awesome game right there. Devil May Cry, great game, PS2 exclusive. Yeah. But I mean, you have a lot of games like Burnout that's come out for, I mean, Burnout Revenge, for instance, a portable version of Burnout came out for the PSP and the DS for all handheld systems.
Burnout Legends.
I said Revenge, right?
Yeah.
I keep on getting the two confused. Yeah. Then you have Burnout Revenge, which came out for the 360, the original Xbox, and the PS2.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only way that a third-party game is really going to make money is if it comes out multi-platform. I think that's where it's going, definitely. And I think, you know, that's how the business is catered. It's all about getting as much money as possible.
989, I hope you hear this, honestly. I mean, I am sick and tired. I mean, I know that 989, I know that it's mostly owned by Sony, but
yeah.
I know that once upon a time it was a third party. Now, the fact that 989 is putting out baseball games that are still subpar to this day. Every single time I see them. Now, mind you, this year's is better than it used to be. And actually, they say the PSP version is better than the PS2 version this year.
Wow.
Which is a bit odd and frightening.
Yeah,
but definitely. I'd really like to see 989 put the quality that other third parties put into their games into PS2 games and maybe even branch themselves out to other consoles. But again, their contract with Sony sort of stops them from doing that.
I have no love for 989 Studios because they single-handedly destroyed the Twisted Metal franchise.
Yeah.
And it took Dave Jaffe and a SCEA, Sony Santa Monica studio, to actually come out and make Twisted Metal Black and kind of redeem it. But I hate 99 Studios for that. Twisted Metal 3 and 4 never existed for me. Never. I'm a big
fan
of the series.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah, so. Definitely. Now, one of the stories that I covered on the show last week, and I don't know if you've listened to that yet, the fact that gamers apparently are fat, nympho, chain-smoking alcoholics.
I can agree with that. Joking. Kidding.
Now, okay, I know that there's this stereotype out there of what gamers become, you know, if they play too many violent games and they're going to start beating up their wives and, you know, start smoking marijuana and doing all this crazy stuff. And there's this stereotype out there that there are gamers that never leave their couch and just keep getting fatter and fatter and only eat Lay's potato chips and the occasional Ruffles if they have the bag around and have their mothers do all the shopping for them and they urinate in a bottle and don't go anywhere else.
Sadly, I know some people like that.
Wow.
Sadly.
Wow. Well, they're the minority, though.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of people
definitely
think that they're the majority, and I really like to see people realizing that, you know, gamers do leave the house. I mean, when we need food, we go and buy food.
Oh, yeah. I pride my social life over everything else. I mean, I love video games. I'm addicted to World of Warcraft, but I mean, God, I like to go outside once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
That's great, going
outside,
enjoying
beautiful day
life.
Like this, where it starts thundering out of nowhere, you know?
I mean, yeah, that was random. Completely random.
We're sitting here watching the IT crowd, or the IT crowd, depending on what you want to call it. And by the way, anybody who hasn't watched that yet, it's a BBC show, it's 6 episodes, you can find it online, it's hilarious, you gotta go and download it.
If you're a geek, you owe it to yourself to check out the show.
Yes, exactly.
Hilarious.
It's about an IT department with a boss who knows nothing about computers. You can't get better than that. But we're sitting there, we're watching it, and Marvin's got the headphones on, I don't. So I'm hearing the world around me, and he's got the headphones on. Next thing I know, there's this loud crash outside. Now, Marvin thought it was something upstairs.
Yeah, he pauses the show, and I'm like, dude, what happened? Oh, did you just hear that thunder? Maybe it's something shifting underneath you. I don't know. I didn't hear anything. Put the show back on.
Perhaps it was just a random shift in an earthquake that might have just randomly happened in Brooklyn.
I don't know.
But then I heard it again. I heard it again. And then I would go outside and realize, oh, there's all those storm clouds outside there. And yet from our window, it looks absolutely beautiful.
Right. And that we were thinking it's some kind of War of the Worlds scenario right there.
Well, who knows? I mean, we'll tell you to put it this way. If the thunder gets louder and we start hearing, then that'll totally work. And by the way, they sounded way too much like cows in the movie.
Yeah, you're right.
It's really frightening. But anyway, what do you think about people who right away think that kids are just nothing but fat, nympho, chain-smoking alcoholics that play video games?
This guy has it written all down as a list, like fat, chain-smoking, nymphomaniacs, alcoholics.
These media should come with a health warning. They already do, mind you. The data linking violent media to aggression are just as strong as those linking smoking and lung cancer.
It's so sad because, I mean, they're trying to make a lot of these quote-unquote studies, and I'm so skeptical about studies, trying to make gaming to be like this new stereotype, just like rock and roll back in the day, way back in the day. But I mean, the thing is, it's all about moderation. What I personally think, and I agree with you when you said this last week, that, you can't – parents are at fault here, definitely. I mean, you can't just sit a kid in front of a 360 and like, here, okay, you can play Burnout Revenge on the 360 and talk to complete strangers on Xbox Live where profanity flies like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'll see you in 8 hours. You can't do that. There has to be some kind of interaction, hang out with your kid, take him to the park, hang out with him,
Yeah.
But I mean, what parents do nowadays, because they're so lazy, and this country, and I don't want to go on this whole political rant, but this country's...
That's right, I did it last week, so...
But this country's so lacking in parental skills. I don't know how it is in other countries, but definitely here in America, that's how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have video games to be a babysitter, you know?
No, definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's just like the television back in the day. I mean, when the TV first came out, in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, and I'm sure it's still the case today, but it's more video games than anything else now, you would just sit a kid in front of the TV, give him those cartoons, and say, I'll be back in 4 hours, mommy's going to see her friend, and that's it, And you would come back, and the kid maybe would have moved 2 inches, and that's it.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't like the fact that these studies don't even talk about the positive aspects of video games, because I hold it to video games. I mean, if it wasn't for video games, I would not be into technology. I would not be into computers.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be doing a video game podcast. I mean, come on. It's better than shooting kids in high school, isn't
definitely.
It? I mean, a lot of people don't talk about the positive aspects. I mean, if you have kids play games, they're going to be more inclined to technology. And as this world evolves, I mean, it's going completely, it's a technological world. That's how it's working.
Yeah. And a lot of people also think that, gaming gives people ADD or something like that. Honestly, there are games out there that give you more focus than anything else. You got to sit there, you got to do things specific in a specific pattern, or else you're going to mess up the game. That gives you at least some skills for life, where if you're sitting there and you can't move for this amount of time when you're doing your work, and you're sitting there and you're typing and typing and typing and typing and typing and typing and typing, this is going to get you ready for that in the future. Mind you, I don't want a cubicle job ever, but if I have to, chances are I'll get used to the fact that I'm not moving for a while.
Now, cubicle jobs pay very well, from my experience.
Yeah,
but I mean, Carlos Mencia said it best. He was like, on his show, Mind of Mencia, on Comedy Central, he was like, oh, well, my sister thinks that her 8-year-old kid has ADD.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can't have ADD if you could sit in front of the TV for 8 hours playing Halo 2.
Yeah.
Good point.
Exactly. No, it's
that's a good point right there.
It's absolutely true. And I mean, people need to start to realize that, well, number one, drugs don't cure everything.
Right.
Okay. And number two, video games are not the devil. Okay. Mm-hmm. Talking to you, Republicans, and I'm absolutely done with the political side. Thank you very much. And the Democrats wanted the two. I'm not just saying it was the Republicans. Yeah.
Yeah, because Senator Hillary Clinton and Joe Lieberman are trying to really mess everything up, you two bastards.
Lieberman, Jew. Happy Passover. Anyway, moving on, I'm not sure if this was something that you talked about on your show or not, but this is something that I wanted to talk about last week that I didn't really have the opportunity to do so.
All right.
On Joystick, they came out with information about a PS1 emulator interface coming out for the PSP. Now, the fact that UMDs are sort of going to the wayside, as we mentioned, this might be something to sort of boost the PSP back a bit. I mean, considering the fact that there aren't many good games coming out for that recently, I mean, there are games coming out, but in very, very small fashion.
Basically, it's summed up like, there are games coming out, but why should I care? That's basically how it's summed up now.
Exactly. And they have a list of games here. And again, this is a preliminary list. It might not even be 100% considering that they were sent these screenshots, but they do look pretty official.
All right.
And they basically, on that list were games such as Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare, Broken Sword, The Shadow of the Templars, Broken Sword, The Smoking Mirror, Doom, Doom 2.
Classic.
Duke Nukem, Time to Kill. Duke Nukem, Land of the Babes. Duke Nukem Forever. Oh, wait, never mind. Final Fantasy VII, Gran Turismo 2, Grand Theft Auto 2, Metal Gear Solid, Snake! Twisted Metal 2 and Quake 2.
What do I say about that? I think that's definitely cool. I mean, the library is pretty good. I think they picked those specific games because the PSP in itself is missing two buttons. It's missing an R2 and an L2.
Yeah.
It's got L and R on and, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it's pretty cool to bolster your sales of the PSP by offering, like, these all PS1 games. I don't know if it's going to be sold, like, in the UMD format along with the emulator, like, on the UMD already, or is it going to be like, I'll be able to download like a file, like a ROM basically of the game, and I'll have the emulator on my memory stick.
It's looking like it's actually going towards what you just mentioned, something similar to, you know, just being able to download it, because, I mean, for an emulator such as this, it would be really a pain in the ass to go out there and buy the discs and all that when you could just get them downloaded pretty easily.
Yeah.
Now, the price point is $15 on these as of now. Now,
per game. That's pretty reasonable.
That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, okay. I think that's fair enough.
I mean, I think it would definitely be a decent enough job, but then you've got stuff like this, which I just found on Joystick's main page, the fact that GoldenEye will not be coming to Xbox Live Arcade. Big shock there, big whoop. I mean, there were some ideas of it possibly coming out for the Xbox Live Arcade once upon a time.
Right.
But it's an N64 title, no matter what you put it.
I read that story this morning,
yeah.
And the whole thing between Microsoft and Nintendo, because as you know, Rare used to be a Nintendo company before they got bought up by Microsoft.
Yeah.
The whole thing is, if either company with Microsoft Xbox Live Arcade or Nintendo with the Virtual Console service coming out for the Revolution, if either company wanted GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, because, I mean, frankly, if you're going to mention GoldenEye, you have to mention Perfect Dark, the successor.
Yeah.
Both companies have to talk to each other.
Yeah.
It goes both ways. And they're not going to really, they're not going to find some kind of like
they hate
leeway.
Each other. We know that.
So, I mean, it's, of course, it's not going to happen. So, I mean, Perfect Dark, for those of you who are fiending for it after playing Perfect Dark Zero for the 360 and you're like, well, it's not the same. I want the original. I mean, you're going to have to pick up a 64 if you want to experience the original.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the Virtual Arcade for the Revolution is going to be doing a decent job. And obviously, that's not called the Virtual Arcade. But to me, that's what it is in essence. No matter what the hell you call it, your virtual machine, virtual arcade, a virtual box, whatever the hell they want to call it, it's basically what it is. And they're trying to combat themselves with the Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their main competitor in this aspect. Even if the PSP's emulator does do a decent job, that's a portable. That's going to be very different.
Right. I like the fact that the Virtual Console, not only is it going to have like these old games, I mean, it's going to have old Nintendo games, Sega Genesis games, TurboGrafx-16 games.
That's what got me. As soon as you said the word TurboGrafx-16 on your podcast, I was like, oh my God, I've always wanted to play a TurboGrafx-16 game.
Not only that, but it gives an opportunity for, you know, developers who want to make like just a small title, because, I mean, gaming is all about big budgets now.
Oh, yeah.
Huge, huge amounts of money to make these games. I mean, it'd be so easy for a small up-and-coming developer to make some kind of simplistic game, because as I hope you guys all know, the simplistic games are the most fun games to play.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's going to pay like $30 for like a Robotron clone
type
of game. Yeah. Nobody's going to pay that. But I mean, if you offer it for $5 and it's a fun game to play, I'd definitely buy it.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, again, the price points have to be proper.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I do not want to see, and I mean, people might agree with me, might agree or disagree with me with this, the original Nintendo games, I want to see them for $2.
Right.
That's it. You know, I want to see them for cheap because I know that I could just get these online. I had these on my computer already. You know, I mean, although I hope the FCC is not listening. Oh, God. Oh, God. Wait. No. Ah! But no, I mean, the fact is that I played these games before. They're so easy to get online. You got to give a decent price point to them. That's the whole reason why the iTunes Music Store has succeeded, because, you know, $1.99 is not too shabby for things along those lines, you know? Similarly, for a ROM, I'm not going to want to pay more than about $1.99 or $2, you know?
The thing is, I don't like going to EB Games, and they have the bargain bin, and they have, like, some classic Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm going to pay $5.99 for a copy of Super Mario Bros. 3. I'll pass.
Okay,
that's just a ridiculous price.
Yes, indeed. Oh, and by the way, Firefox 1.502 has been released. So as you're listening to this, download it, please. Thank you very much.
I'll be doing that as soon as I get home.
Yes, indeed. Now that I saw that on Dig. Thank you very much, Dig, for existing. Yeah, you're really, really nice. But no, definitely do that. But meanwhile, some other gaming news for you here. Again, Joystick. Joystick has been doing a damn good job lately with their stories, I got to say.
Definitely.
I mean, as of late, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've liked Joystick for a while, but lately they've really been stepping it up with the PS3 news and the Revolution news. I mean, it's usually the first place I find them now.
Yeah.
IGN used to be the place I go, but now IGN I can't freaking stand for the life of me.
I'm assuming you got really sick of the advertisements
on
IGN.
Yes. It's the advertisements and also the layout.
Nah,
honestly, I miss the old layout. You know, back in the days, when it was IGN 64, Okay. Yeah. I used to go there. It had a nice simple red layout where you were able to just go there, click on whatever you wanted, and not have to worry about clicking through 8,000 pop-ups, because on mine, the pop-ups don't even show up. It's just a click-through.
Right.
Because I have my ad block, so it's getting rid of all those damn pop-ups in the first place. So it's literally just a blank page.
Mm-hmm.
Really good job there, IGN. But anyway, a mom and pop store is plotting to screw you out of a PS3 and put food on their table. All right. Here's the story from joystick.com. We despise the bait and switch and illegal bundling tricks that some unscrupulous retailers played on gamers who were looking to purchase Xbox 360s last holiday season. Boxes of Xbox 360s, not Xbox 360s. Remember that, folks. eBay, read what you're purchasing ahead of time.
Yeah.
I mentioned it time and time again. Read. It's good for you. It's educational. Just because you play your games on the television all the time doesn't mean you don't remember how to read. Thank you very much. But should we be even more alarmed by the way in which small game retailers take advantage of temporary shortages to make a killing selling scarce consoles on eBay? Several weeks ago, I visited a tiny game retailer in my old hood of Astoria, New York, just outside of Manhattan. He said the word hood. That's frightening. Once I got the clerk talking, he let slip that his boss had eBayed every Xbox 360 he'd received since the system's launch, most of them for 100% over retail price. You heard me right. A 100% above retail price.
I believe it.
That's really sad. Will you do the same with the PS3s you get? Totally. The clerk responded. In other words, if the PlayStation 3 is scarce this holiday season, don't expect your local games retailer to save one for you. He'll do the economically rational thing and divert his allotment of consoles to the global marketplace where they'll fetch a higher price. After all, he's in the business of making money, not running a charity, right? Rational merchants guided by the invisible hand or shady shysters? Is there any solution to this problem? It's a damn good question. Is there any solution to this problem?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they don't even get many 360s, if any.
Yeah.
You know, speaking on the 360, they might get, like, I don't know, three,
oh, yeah.
maybe.
Yeah.
Of course, the guy's going to be like, what am I going to do? Am I going to hold this on stock here and have, like, somebody come in and pay, like, regular price? Or am I going to go and ship it on eBay and get, like, a huge profit off of it? And, of course, he's going to go and sell it on eBay and get the huge profit off of it. A lot of these mom-and-pop stores... We're talking about stores that are not like EB Games, not like GameStop.
Like a store named Game Company or something like that, or like Game Shop or right. Toys and Stuff.
Right. I mean, these mom and pop shops, the reason why people go to them so many times is because it's probably that there's a tax benefit. Yeah. Like usually if you go into these stores, you pay in cash. Usually you don't have to pay tax in New York City.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of these stores work. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, hey, I can save that money, so I'll just go buy from here.
It's the reason why I buy my games over at Bulletproof, honestly, because I'm a member at Bulletproof. I don't have to pay tax on anything. So.
Right. But I mean, it just goes to show you, if you're going to buy a console, buy it from an actual retailer. I mean, a lot of people, myself included, don't like EB Games or GameStop because, frankly, the people that work there do not know anything about games.
Yeah.
And just the store could be run better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you want your console from somewhere, I mean, and it's scarce, I mean, you know. The thing is, when the 360 was, like, being shipped out and everything like that, and there's huge, like, quantity issues, I mean, the stock was not there at launch.
Yeah.
I mean, I just got mine, like, last month or so?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, these people made pre-orders, like, months in advance.
Sure.
And as soon as the Xboxes, the 360s came out, they just sold them.
Of course.
They just sold them, and they didn't honor these pre-orders.
Yeah.
And that was messed up.
Well, it's similar, actually, I mean, to think of the New York Comic Con. I mean, I'm sure that this is a very, very different situation, but people who went to the New York Comic Con this year who pre-ordered their tickets, went there, and were told, I'm sorry, we have too many people inside this place. Go away now.
See, that's not the fault of the people making the pre-orders. That's the fault of the committee not planning.
No, I know, Yeah, and well, similarly, I mean, the people who pre-ordered their Xbox 360s and go to the store and say, we don't have any left.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they were guaranteed Xbox 360s through pre-order, and then they go there and say, no, which is just absolutely lovely. And half the time, they're not even getting money back because this is almost guaranteed that you're putting money down and that's it. So, oh yeah, you can put it towards something else. Great, fantastic. And I love going into an EB, by the way, and saying, so what game do you recommend? And watching their faces just turn white.
Their eyes dart back and forth as they're looking for some kind of title to show you. Tax Filer 2006 is pretty good, but that's for the PC and that's not a game. That's an application you use to file out your taxes. But, I don't know anything. I'm so sorry.
What would you recommend? Windows XP?
God, you guys have Nada. We have Nada 3.
I got to say, that is a fun commercial.
That's a great commercial.
Yeah, it's a great commercial, even if the company sucks. So, all right. Well, I think the gaming side has pretty much been covered. Let's switch it over to the technology side. But in doing so, there has to be a musical interlude, because that's just the way we work now, isn't it? So contrary to popular belief, Marvin John doesn't just know video games. Marvin, do you just not know video games?
Marv does video games, and Marv does many other things, too.
Really? What else does Marvin do?
I do Windows. I can cook, clean.
I don't do Windows.
I know technology, though. I know my
Really? Really? Wow, technology. Wow, fantastic. In fact, actually, when GeekSpeak used to be a show, we talked a lot about that stuff. And, mm-hmm. You know, now that GeekSpeak's still a show, let's talk some tech news. Now, I know that you know very well about boot camp.
Oh, yes.
And no, I'm not talking about what happens when you join the Army. Boot camp, I've talked about it on the show. It is the Apple app that will allow you to run Windows. Now, I know that you've seen gaming side of boot camp when it comes to Doom 3 and what else was it?
Far Cry, which
Far
is
Cry.
Doom 3, as we all know, the sequel to like one of the most famous franchises for PC gaming history.
Yeah.
And Far Cry is an up-and-comer. It's intensive graphics and everything like that. It's crazy stuff. And apparently, when you run these games on boot camp with a Macintosh,
yeah.
Apparently, I mean, the default settings when the games run, when you're using boot camp, they're very low. But if you crank them up really high, they're actually pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, it keeps up. It's up to par. So, wow. I mean, and Doom 3, as I mean, I've gone over, not on this podcast, but people know Doom 3 is a system killer. That kills machines.
Yes.
And the fact that these Macs can actually run Doom 3 decently, that makes me wonder. I mean, a lot of gamers might want to switch to Macs now.
Well, you know what it proves? Just how much better Mac puts their systems together. Even if they're, you know, not really too much on the, you know, Windows software, obviously, because, well, it's a freaking Mac.
Right.
You know, they put good stuff inside of their computers. You know, whether it be the Intel chips, whether it be the fans even. I mean, come on, Macintosh fans. Compare them to Windows fans. Compare them to, like, a Dell fan.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, you're going to get a much better product with Macintosh
right. Than
you are with anything else. I mean, they put care into their computers because they know this is their bread and butter.
Yep.
It's not the operating system that they're selling. It is the computer itself.
Definitely.
And that's the main difference there. You know, I mean, with Windows, you can just buy the CD. That's it.
I used to say often that Mac gamers used to get the shaft because the only good game that ever came out for the Macintosh it was Myst. And that's not even a game. It has no immersion whatsoever.
Warcraft, actually. I have Warcraft 1 and Warcraft 2 for the Mac.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Blizzard Entertainment is well known for making hybrid games. So
yeah.
Warcraft 1, 2, 3, Starcraft, Diablo can run on Mac just fine.
Yeah.
That's a joke, by the way. I mean, Myst isn't the only good game on the Mac.
I know.
But I mean, the library is kind of limited. And a lot of times you have to wait for the port of, like, say, Doom 3 for the Macintosh.
Hey, Billiards for OS 7 was really good, actually.
I don't know.
Macintosh Performa 575.
That's going way back.
Oh, yeah. That's what I still got at my home.
But, I mean, I like the fact that boot camp, all complaints about Windows aside, it's pretty cool that boot camp allows you to run Windows on a Mac, and therefore it increases the library of games that, like, Mac users can actually use.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mac is superior in many fields. It's superior in audio editing, video editing, image editing, definitely.
Editing, period.
Yeah, definitely.
Even Photoshop for Macintosh. I mean, sure, it's the exact same thing basically on the Windows, but it's so much easier to use
for me. It's more stable.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, first thing you do when you buy a Macintosh, buy a freaking mouse with two clicks, all right? Right click, left click. That's it. Because every Mac is formatted to have a right click.
Right.
They just don't give you the mouse that does it.
I never liked the one-button mouse myself.
Yeah, I mean, two-button mouses or whatever the hell you want to call them are so much easier.
Right.
You know, and it just makes Macintosh even easier in the long run.
But we're probably saying this as Windows users for so many years. I'm sure a Mac user can come out and be like, well, you know, two buttons, left click, right click.
Okay.
We just have click.
Even when I had
and
the...
click is simple.
even when I
click
had...
Click is easy.
Even when I had Macintosh Performa 575, I hated having to press control. Okay.
Control click. Yeah,
control click, which is just a pain in the butt.
I can't picture playing first-person shooters with one-button mouse.
Oh, no. Definitely not.
Because you have the first button to shoot, and then you have the second button to do whatever, depending on your configuration.
Then there's people with gaming mice with, like, four buttons on them. Where
I'm completely against those, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, three-button mice, that's fine. I mean, two-button mice, I have a two-button mouse at home. I have the left, right, and the mouse wheel can click down, so it's three buttons.
Yeah.
That's good enough. I don't need a mouse that has like five buttons on the side and I could select my weapons and all this nonsense.
Yeah, I know. And because also
that's too much.
It gives you an unfair advantage also.
Yeah, I mean, because not everybody has that type of mouse, but I mean.
Yeah. Well, also, with the thing about boot camp, you know, honestly, don't think that just because you have a Windows on a Macintosh doesn't mean you can just open up Internet Explorer and not get spyware.
Yeah, you
know?
You can still get spyware.
Exactly. You can still get all these things. So are people going to have to like get like adware for their boot camp Windows XP as soon as they get it, or like SpyBot or something like that, so they'll be able to combat all the spyware coming in?
Well, it's not like people who own a Mac can call up Apple and be like, you know, well, I use boot camp and, you know, it kind of messed up my thing. So can you help me? Because as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Apple does not support, like, their warranty does not support boot camp. You void your warranty if you use boot camp.
Yeah.
So you really have to consider it. I mean, Windows is known for its bugs, security flaws, spyware, adware, viruses, trojans, worms, you name it, it's got it. But Mac, the platform has been known to not have any of these problems because, frankly, not many people use Macs enough for hackers to even bother.
Sure.
So, I mean, so you really have to weigh the pros and cons there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, without a doubt. And, I mean, Macintoshes are all fun and games, but even Macintoshes have viruses, and I've covered this in the past. You know, they're not plentiful or anything like that, but you still need to be careful.
Right.
And especially if you're running boot camp, you're going to have to be damn careful.
Uh-huh.
Don't just go surfing on the net randomly while you're on Windows XP, or else you'll probably get bite in the butt for it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you might be on a Mac, but it's still a partition that's still running XP. It's still Windows XP.
Definitely.
So
yeah, without a doubt. And also, speaking of Macintosh, while we're on that, over at Engadget.com, news that the Real Video iPod has been delayed by display problems, Studio Talks. Whew, what a relief. We were afraid for a while there that we'd have to go a whole week without any rumors about Apple's alleged plans for True Video iPod, but ThinkSecret has come through as usual. According to the site, Apple had been on track to release the widescreen video iPod in time for the company's 30th birthday this month, but had to delay the project due to display problems and negotiations with movie studios. ThinkSecret claims that Apple is committed to a touchscreen controller using a virtual track wheel, but actually achieving this has proven to be a challenge for Apple's display manufacturer. Meanwhile, Apple is reportedly having a hard time negotiating content deals with movie studios. According to ThinkSecret, the company wants to stick with the iTunes model of selling individual flicks, while the studios are looking for a MusicNet-style subscription service. What a shock there. So, would you be in the market for a Real Video iPod when it comes out?
Absolutely not. I mean, I don't even understand what the whole use of the video iPod is. I mean, because after all, I have to see an episode of Lost on that small, small screen
while
I'm riding the subway. I never saw the point of it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are people out there who do buy their stuff from the iTunes Music Store. And you know what? By all means, do whatever you want. But
it's your money.
Exactly. It's your money, but you're getting so much better quality if you just torrent the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you download it from the iTunes Music Store, you're only getting it in that small little size that's compatible with the iPod.
Right.
You pull that up on a screen, and you're watching pixels. You're not watching an episode of Lost. You're just watching a whole bunch of pixels and some music behind it.
Was that a plane crash, or was that some guy's leg?
I think it was a bear.
You know, just why even bother? If it's a visual medium, I want to be able to see what I'm looking at.
Definitely. And one thing Apple would have to do if they are coming out with this Real Video iPod. And by the way, when I saw Real Video iPod for the first time, I'm like, what the hell is the iPod doing with Real Video?
That's what I thought initially when you mentioned that.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Real and iPod together? That is a monstrosity right there.
Definitely.
Oh, God. And Real Video is the worst thing ever. I got to say, man.
It is.
Oh, wait, no. Buffering.
Even if you have a high-speed connection, you'll still have to suffer buffering issues.
Oh, of course, because it's a Real Player.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing they're definitely going to have to do is up the pixels on the screen. That's number one, okay? And also, give people a decent HD quality LCD screen.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't give them an LCD that's been lying around the store for about 5 years.
Right.
You know, and that seems what they do with the iPods. I look at those screens. They're nice screens for when you're selecting things, but when you're watching video, it's bland.
That's why I never saw the point of the iPod video.
Yeah,
never.
I know. And also, they started calling the iPod video the iPod with video capabilities.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. just to make it seem even less that it's not the iPod video. It's just an iPod that happens to play videos. I'm like, fantastic.
Like, I can care less. I mean, exactly. I have an iPod photo.
Yeah.
And you can look at photos, obviously, based on the name.
Yeah.
I never used this feature once. Yeah. I don't care enough. I just want to play MP3s and store my podcast, and that's
there
it.
There you go. How big an iPod is it?
20 gig.
20 gig, exactly. And you know what? That's all you'll ever need also.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I got the 30 gig Vision because that's the only one they make, basically. But also the fact that the one thing that has over the iPod is that the screen size is pretty much the same, but the quality is 8 times better.
Yeah.
Apple does not seem to learn that screens are important. I really hope they do sometime. All right, now switching over to, I guess, Internet Explorer, since I haven't really had an opportunity to talk to you too much about this. Have you downloaded the IE beta? I'm sure you haven't.
No, I have not.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a strict Firefox user, and I really, you know, IE7 could come out, and it can all have all these features. I'm sticking with Firefox.
Yeah. Now, I mean, one thing that people don't seem to realize, I mean, like, everybody's been toting this new IE all over the place online, and they don't seem to realize they're not going with the standards. They're really not. They're not going with the standards that Opera and Firefox has put out there. They're just trying to make it a better browser, but in the process, they're still not going to make a better browser than what they already have in Firefox and Opera.
Right.
I mean, no matter what they do, even Safari is better than Internet Explorer, for God's sakes. I mean, Safari sucks. So, I mean, there are other options out there. Even if you don't like Firefox, if you just like Internet Explorer, there are options out there where you can get browsers that like add tabs to Internet Explorer and all that. But you know what? You're already calling that Firefox. Exactly. There's no reason for it. With the Internet Explorer, okay, do you think this is going to save their market share at all, or do you think it's just going to keep going down and down and down?
It's going to keep going down. I mean, how many people do you see, like, IE shirts, like, the logo is crossed out and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, cyber cafes all over the place will only allow you to run Firefox, not Internet Explorer. I mean, I look at somebody who runs Internet Explorer, I'm like, look at him like, dude, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, you know nothing about computers if you're using IE, honestly.
I mean, I don't want to be that elitist, but apparently that's the way it is.
I mean, look, the first thing that I did, and I'm not even joking about this, when my grandparents got a computer, okay, the first thing that I did was I went to their computer, and I saw my uncle set up the computer for them, and he didn't give them Firefox.
Mm.
And right away, my eyes bulge when I see them using Internet Explorer. I'm like,
a warning light flashing in your head, like, oh no.
Yeah, because I don't want to get a phone call at 8 p.m. one night saying, Ian, the computer's not working and I don't know why. This site keeps flashing up about realsexxx.com whenever I type anything in. I don't know what to do. I don't want that to happen to them. So I immediately installed Firefox. I taught them how to use it, and now they use Firefox for everything. Okay, and also, he gave him Thunderbird, but he didn't give him Firefox.
That's very strange.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Thunderbird being the email client made by Mozilla.
Exactly, which is basically their version of Outlook. And it's
a much better version.
Definitely. I mean, I myself, I don't really need Thunderbird too much because I just use Gmail. So I've got it, you know, all up on Gmail server anyway. So.
I have like 3 pop mailboxes. So, I mean, I really use it to manage everything. It does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's very, very good.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, one thing that Gmail has to do, by the way, and they really need to get this going really soon, they have to learn how to put multiple accounts of Gmail on the screen at the same time.
Yeah, definitely.
I hate having to sign out of my Gmail account to sign into a new one.
Well, I mean, you know, for them to put in that feature, I mean, given their track record, I mean, look at the whole thing with the delete button. You guys had a beta test for the delete button.
It's really sad. I was one of the people who got the delete button for everybody else.
That's unfair. I never got the delete button.
And I got it. I posted it on Dig, and everybody was like, what are you talking about? I don't have a delete button. You probably just installed an extension and didn't know about it.
2 weeks later, delete button comes out. Everybody's like, well, oh, crap. Sorry,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, exactly. Like, wait,
we were
mind.
Mistaken.
It wasn't even 2 weeks. I got it like maybe like 3 days before it came out. It was
oh,
really
right.
freaky, too. Like, I mean, literally, like 3 days before it came out, I had a delete button, and it's in beta. Gmail will never get out of beta.
No, they never will.
I mean, it will be 5 years from now, and Gmail will still say Gmail beta, plus talk.
Google? Who uses Google Talk?
No one.
Yeah.
No one at all.
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, the instant message feature on this, it's kind of cool only if you don't have AIM.
Right.
You know, or even if you don't have, like, Trillion or something like that, if this is the only thing you're working with, fine. It's nice to know when somebody else is on. Okay? That's a nice feature to have. But then, when you're checking your email, you don't want to all of a sudden have a conversation with somebody when all you wanted to do was check your email.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's a pain in the butt. A couple times it's happened to me that people start IMing me like, hey, man. I'm like, hey, I'm on AIM. Why are you here?
It's like, I have Gmail, but everybody has AIM, and
exactly.
Why are you being so uncool?
I know, and that's it. I mean, you use Trillion, right?
Yes, I use Trillion.
And Trillion just helps you out tenfold.
Well, I mean, I like the fact that I can sign on to every IM service there is: Yahoo, ICQ, AIM, MSN Messenger. MSN Messenger, obviously, being the one I use rarely.
Yes, because MSN Messenger, it's by Microsoft.
So, meh. But I mean, it's very handy. But I mean, there is a way to add Google Talk functionality to it. If you actually order the pro version of Trillion, you can install Jabber, which is this other IM service. Yeah. I don't know if you heard of it.
I have heard of that. Yeah.
But if you alter the servers that the service points to, you can actually log into your Gmail account with it. I mean, I used it, and I mean, who cares? Because nobody uses Gmail. I mean, not Gmail, but Google Talk.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, who cares?
Well, Jabber was Google Talk at first.
Yes.
Right? Jabber was what Google Talk was based on.
Right.
So it's kind of easy to sign into it because, well, it's like using what used to be Audition. I forget what it used to be called Once Upon a Time, but before Adobe brought this out, it was just a random, you know, audio editor. And you can still find it online. A lot of people still like swear to that version of it before it became Audition.
Wasn't it like Cakewalk or Cool Talk or something? I forgot.
I think it might have actually been Cakewalk or something.
Maybe. I don't know. It was way back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, it was a cool editor and all that. But then once Adobe took hold of it, until Adobe 2.0, I have Adobe 2.0 now. I love the interface of it. Before then, it was a really, really giant pain in the ass to actually get it to work properly.
Yeah, I imagine.
It's nice and simple to work now. So there you go with that. Well, just to be on a safe side, audio break, just to make sure that we're not getting kicked out of here in a matter of seconds. So, audio break. All right, listeners to the show know that I've never really gotten into the whole MMORPG thing. For a while, I was on Ragnarok, but, well, then all the free servers started getting taken down, and that really didn't help me out too much because I'm not paying money.
It's because it's communism. Communism
yes, it is.
Caused those servers for Ragnarok Online to crash and burn.
Yes.
You damn commies, well, leave it alone.
My favorite ones ended up getting shut down with that giant, you know, you can run, but you can't hide logo.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is great. On April Fool's, GameFAQ had a you can cheat, but you can't hide.
Oh, yeah. We covered that on the show during the April Fool's rundown. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Wow, we both had April Fool's rundowns.
Yes,
isn't
we did.
Isn't that something?
You didn't cover the one about Blizzard. Blizzard Entertainment.
Oh, really?
Blizzard Entertainment, makers of World of Warcraft, they do all kinds of ridiculous things for April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
And this year, especially, first off, they really pissed off all the World of Warcraft players.
Okay.
They a new expansion coming out, the Burning Crusade, is going to be coming out sometime in the summer, and they already released one of the new races for the Horde faction. There's two factions, Alliance and Horde.
Yeah.
And the new race is going to be the Blood Elves, which is pretty cool. And then they released the Alliance race on April Fool's Day, the Night Elf Wisp, which is only a ball of light.
Oh, God.
With quote-unquote, millions of combinations for customization, but the only settings you can customize were the color and whether the Wisp had facial hair or not. And there were all kinds of ridiculous features, like it could turn into a tree, but if you were in a tree form, you couldn't parry axe attacks.
That's odd.
You could permanently detonate your character and kill him, and then you'd have to make another character. So imagine hitting the level cap, you'd be a level 60 Wisp. Oh no, I have to face an inferno. Boom. Damn, all those days playing. Now I have to do it again.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's so ridiculous. And also, they came out with a BurgerCraft restaurant
serving
all kinds of dishes based on the Blizzard game universes, like, say, the Paladinner, the Zerg Rush All-You-Can-Eat Special, the Frost Shock Smoothie, all kinds of ridiculous stuff.
Well, see, if only it had been Sims, because then everything would have been
Simlish is so funny.
Simlish, God. You know, there are people who try to say that they're fluent in that, and it just really makes me want to hit them.
On X-Play on G4, they actually had the voice actors that actually do the voices for The Sims.
Oh, really?
And I swear to God, anybody could do it.
Quick sidetrack, what do you think about the fact that X-Play is no longer on at 11? They're doing Star Trek 2.0 at 11 o'clock. You can only watch X-Play, I think, at 6 p.m. now.
They're running out of ideas, but I mean, isn't G4, like, don't they run, like, 3 episodes of X-Play, like, a day?
Something like that,
I swear to God, I'll tune in to
random
times.
Well, the new episode isn't on until, like, 6 now, I think.
I stopped caring. I seriously did.
The last member of the Screensavers is officially gone. Sarah Lane is getting married to Brendan Moran. Both it. Brendan Moran from Attack of the Show.
Oh, wow.
Who was on Tech TV but was not on Screensavers. They are getting married, and Kevin Rose is in the corner crying. No, he's not. And
I remember when Sarah Lane and Kevin Rose were going out, and then you told me that Kevin Rose dumped Sarah for a Canadian version of Sarah.
Yes, yes. He dumped her for the Canadian version, which would be the one on Call for Help.
Right.
And now Sarah is leaving the show officially. She's getting married. She's going on a trip around the world.
Oh, wow. Good for her.
Yes. And she is leaving for at least a year and probably for good. Mm. So the officially, there is nothing to do with the Screensavers on Attack of the Show.
Ouch.
The Sarah cam is officially down.
What a poor show. God, oh, God. I hate G4.
Well, okay, there are some segments that I like. The comic book segment is pretty good. DVD Tuesday is pretty good. But other than that, I can't stand it.
I don't look at it anymore. I really don't.
Yeah.
And I mean, I will say this is attributed to the fact that I'm completely addicted to the World of Warcraft.
Yes.
So, I mean, TV, what's that? But I mean, G4 is, that is not gamers TV, because I'm a gamer, and
yes.
I'm so insulted.
And bringing it back to what we were going to talk about, World of Warcraft, what is it that makes you play it for 20 hours of the day, followed by 4 hours of sleep, followed by more World of Warcraft?
I don't know, dude. I mean, exactly how it started was peer pressure. A friend of mine, I knew her for 10 years, my friend Erin, how you doing? She was like, oh, dude, you got to play this game, World of Warcraft. It's so much fun. I mean, it's just like Diablo all over again. And Diablo 2, I had this huge
Diablo
5-year legacy with it. That game pisses me off because it's so like, it's so, there's so many things WoW does better than Diablo 2. But I mean, I was like, okay, fine, I'll try out World of Warcraft. They tried out a 10-day free trial.
Yeah.
And I was sold by day 3.
Okay.
And this is coming from me. I'm a first-person shooter player. I mean, Quake, Doom, you name it, I'll play it. But I mean, I'm completely addicted. I don't know why. it's different factors of it. I mean, it's the fact that you're playing with so many people. It's an MMORPG.
Yeah.
Massively multiplayer online RPG.
Because inside.
You know, it's the fact that there's this whole war setting. Now, the way that's set up, especially on PvP servers, that's fun. Because on PvP servers, you're just constantly at war. But the way that's broken up is that after Warcraft 3 and the events of the Frozen Throne, the expansion to Warcraft 3, there are two factions in the World of Warcraft, the Alliance and the Horde. And at the time of Warcraft 3, they kind of had to unite against one common enemy, the demons. And, you know, after Warcraft 3, everything just kind of fell apart. Now, these two factions are at each other's throats, and there's an upcoming demonic invasion coming up sometime soon.
Oh.
So it's really tense. Okay, now I'm on the PvP server of Smolderthorn. PvP, for those of you who do not know, is player versus player.
Yeah.
So it means that, you know, if I see a Horde member running around somewhere and it's not anybody's territory, it's contested territory, I can kill them on sight.
Yeah.
And it's the way to play the game. I mean, you can do a quest and everything like that, and your guard will be down, and some, like, torn shaman will just come on and just, you know, beat the living hell out of you and kill you. But, I mean, that's war. And you would think it's kind of frustrating, like, oh, man, you know, I can't quest because this guy's killing me. But, I mean, you know, that's the World of Warcraft right there. And I think that kind of, the fact that, you know, you have to always be on your toes and you always have to be ready to fight, you know, it brings this different kind of thrill that I'm into. I don't know.
So how many Leroys are there on World of Warcraft that you've experienced? And by the way, those of you who don't know what the hell I'm talking about, Leroy!
I can actually break down exactly what happened in that video. For those of you who do not play World of Warcraft, it took me a while to understand it.
Give me the play-by-play. I'm a play-by-play guy when it comes to sports. You're a play-by-play guy when it comes to video games.
Okay, the Leroy Jenkins video, basically this guy comes in after he's AFK for a long time, and, you know, these people are planning out this attack on this place, and he comes in, rushes in, and gets everybody killed. Okay, the way that this works with World of Warcraft, basically, the game is set up in such a way that if you encounter more than, like, probably two enemies, you're dead. So a lot of planning is involved in, okay, how can we draw aggro or make an enemy come over to here and cause them to not cause aggro to anyone else? So there's a lot of intricate planning, and if you mess up, if you aggro the wrong monster, or you aggro too many monsters, all hell will break loose and everybody will get killed, or as we call it, they will wipe or wipe out. So what happened with the Leroy Jenkins video is that he came in after his AFK, everybody was like, and I think it was fake because there's absolutely no way you can calculate the chance that you'll survive an encounter. But that's impossible.
Wait, so, all right, so you're serious? You actually think that it was fake?
I think it was fake. I think it was made
after
up.
All this time where everybody said over and over again this was totally real, and it just happened to be caught on a video capture card, that
one of the guys was like, okay, well, can you make a calculation for our chances here? It seems to be 31%. There is no way, I don't think, you can calculate that.
Well, okay.
You can't.
Well,
so
is it possible
fake
that he was just making it up off the top of his head and he's just that much of a geek?
No, I, don't think so.
Well, he could be like one of those math geniuses that, you know, you all knew in high school.
You can calculate the damage that you do. I mean, there's really intricate equations to that. But, I mean, there is no way you can calculate your chance of surviving an encounter with X instance or monster or whatever.
Okay. And in your experience playing World of Warcraft, have you ever had an experience where somebody, a member of your party, just says screw you to the plan and just runs in and gets you and everybody else killed?
Many times. That's happened many times. I mean, at this point, you know, you can't really get pissed off at... Well, yeah, you can get pissed off.
Of course you can get pissed off at it. Come on, man. It's all about getting pissed off. You do better when you're pissed off.
That's true. And games are the most fun when they're so frustrating. But, I mean, you have to look at it this way. I mean, the average instance of, like, difficult instance takes, like, a good 3 hours to do. So if I'm asking to look for a group for Ulduman, I really have to set aside some time to do it.
Yeah.
Ulduman being one of these particularly hard instances, I mentioned on my podcast that it will completely make my head explode. It's so hard.
Yeah.
I haven't even done it yet. I still haven't finished it. I've done it. I've wiped so many times, but, you know. But, I mean, the fact is, like, there's a lot of coordination involved. You have to communicate with your team, and a lot of times people will just not stick with the plan and mess everything up.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. We're only human and everything like that. I mean, I've messed up a couple times. But, I mean, it's live and learn. You learn from your experiences, and hopefully it'll make you a better player in the long
run. Yeah, sure, definitely. And, I mean, what are the usual, like, age ranges of people that you see on World of Warcraft? Like, I mean, is it mostly, like, teenager and above, or do you see, like, the random 7-year-old on it or sometimes?
Well, I mean, I think, on average, it's teenagers. I'm 22.
Yeah.
For, you know, comparison's
sake. I'm 22 as well.
And I encounter, like, people who are, like, 15, 16, and I also encounter people who are, like, mothers. I encounter old people, like, 48.
Oh, the mothers. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I remember that one instance where a mother grounded her son for being on World of Warcraft after he was supposed to be asleep.
Oh, yeah. The mother actually walked, like, her character actually walked up and found him, was like, yeah, you're grounded, right? Damn. Which goes to show you, if your family's playing WoW, make sure you guys are on different servers.
Yeah.
Like, I see you every day. I don't need to see you in Stormwind City. I don't. Just back away, please.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the age ranges for characters in the game, completely just off the wall. I mean, I like this fact, especially, not because I'm trying to, you know, hook up with somebody, but I like the fact there are a lot of female players that play World of Warcraft.
Oh,
many,
baby.
Many female players. Many. I'm surprised
really?
By that.
Wow.
And that's actually a comforting thing to know. I mean, given that gaming in general is it's a male-dominated hobby, and it's good to know, even if it's an MMORPG, even though it's kind of niche, it's good to know that girls are actually picking up these games. They're like, hey, this looks pretty cool, and something that they can get into, invest the time into.
And you know? The good thing is that because you're hearing people's voices, it's very hard to pretend that you are a girl when you're a guy.
That's if you're using Ventrilo.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft itself doesn't have voice chat.
Okay.
But I mean, it's pretty. Given how...
So there could very well be, like, a 70-year-old dude in there pretending to be a 16-year-old girl.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, I mean, you need, like, voice chat forums like Ventrilo or TeamSpeak to... I mean, if you saw the Leroy Jenkins video, I mean, to have that kind of coordination, especially for, like, Skullamons or Upper Blackrock Spire or Blackrock Mountain, to name just a few hard instances, you really need that communication. You really need to speak to your teammates.
Okay.
So a lot of times, like, I'm questioning with friends of mine, I'll just go on vent and we'll talk and just talk about whatever, plan out different moves and everything like that. It's that communication also that's not really with first-person shooters that I like a lot.
So how often do you play things other than World of Warcraft? That's the question. Because, like, it seems like almost every single time that I see you online, you're like, oh, hey, man, hey, what's going on? Yeah, I'm gonna go play World of Warcraft now, bye.
I remember the last time I was like, oh, yeah, dude, I'm doing it right. I can't talk to you right now. I'm doing a Battleground World of Warcraft, bye.
Yeah, bye.
And I was gone.
But, yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm so varied when it comes to games. I mean, right now I'm balancing World of Warcraft. That's, like, the primary.
Yeah.
I'm balancing Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow and Tetris DS for the Nintendo DS.
Wow.
Two very good games.
Yeah.
I'm also balancing Burnout Revenge on the Xbox 360 when it does not crash.
Yes, and that is a royal pain in the ass.
And I'm also dealing with Perfect Dark Zero for the 360, and I'm completely addicted to Xbox Live Arcade, like Gauntlet, Robotron 2084. I mean, I'm addicted to these games.
Gauntlet.
But, I mean,
Gauntlet.
I mean, it's basically based on whether or not I can get on World of Warcraft. If I can't get on World of Warcraft, chances are you'll see me playing something else. If I'm, like, on my commute, I'll be playing the DS. If World of Warcraft's up, I'll be playing World of Warcraft at home. If it's not, I'll be playing, like, whatever else.
So how many systems do you have now? Because I know you had a GameCube for 3 seconds and then traded that in.
Oh, yeah.
So, and by the way, that was the best moment ever, okay? Because I remember you were so happy that you finally had a GameCube because you wanted to play the Metal Gear Solid game for the GameCube.
There were three titles. It was the Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes, which was all right.
Yeah.
Mario Sunshine,
yeah,
really good game, and Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker. Those are the three titles I really wanted to play for the GameCube.
Yeah, and then once you play them, that was that.
Yeah, I was like,
You're like, wow, this is really great, bye.
Okay, so let's see. Right now, in my abode, I have the PC, the gaming monster.
Yes.
I have the PlayStation 2, which is on loan to a friend of mine who's trying to beat a Front Mission 4, this long RPG, so I'm not going to see it in like
a
couple months.
Exactly.
I also have a Dreamcast, because I love the Dreamcast.
Ah, yes.
I think that was an underrated system, definitely.
And by the way, that was the best. When we used to have our gaming things over at the college, you just bring the Dreamcast and bring all of the games that you pirated once upon a time.
Yeah.
Pirating with Marv.
Piracy with Marv.
Piracy with
that
Marv.
That was a great segment. It was just like me bragging about what I downloaded this week. But I'm kind of like on the DL with that now, because you don't know who's listening.
It's so funny, too, because like I've sort of taken your place with that.
It's really
frightening how like it seems like, and again, if the FCC is listening, I love you. Please don't kill me. But I seem to download more stuff than you these days. It's really frightening.
Yeah, but I mean, my time is divided.
I totally blame you, by the way. I blame you, because you're the one who introduced me to BitTornado. And once I got that...
That was it.
It was the end of that.
But, I mean, as for systems I have, it's the PC, it's the PS2, it's the Dreamcast, the Xbox 360, the PSP, the Nintendo DS.
You still have an original Xbox, or...?
I still have the original Xbox, but it's packed up somewhere ready to be sold to somebody.
Okay.
So, I mean, those are all the systems I have, and I'm balancing every single one of them as best as I can.
eBay or something else?
Oh, a friend of mine actually wants to pick it up for the Superman Returns game for the 360, and I think some other title I forgot. I mean, not for the 360, for the original Xbox.
See, that's interesting, because I didn't even know it was coming out for the regular Xbox. I knew it was coming out for the 360. But
I think it is actually coming out for the original Xbox.
By the way, have you seen the screens for the Superman Returns game for the 360?
No, I have not.
Oh, my God. You will believe a man can fly.
Wow.
Honestly, it looks outstanding. They have Metropolis. It has looked better here than it has on any of the other systems, obviously, because most of the Superman games have sucked for every single system. Superman 64, anyone? God.
Oh my God, there was this huge joke back in the presidential election of 2000 against Al Gore and George Bush. And we're like, okay, this is one way to settle it. You lock the two men in a room with Superman 64. You let them play deathmatch. And it's not about the person who wins the deathmatch, but the first person who just puts down the controller is like, you know, this game is garbage. I'm leaving. That's the person who gets
it's
present.
Better for America if I put this controller down.
Exactly. It's better for our people if I just put this controller down. And Bush obviously put the controller down.
Don't mess with Texas.
Basically, can I say?
Yeah, that's all, man. But no, I mean, the layout, the landscape of Metropolis looks amazing. And they show a picture of Superman fighting what appears to be Metallo, because it's a giant robot. It can't be anybody else.
Right.
And it just looks amazing. Honestly, this might be something that I need to pick up once I get a PS3 or something along those lines. If it comes out for the Revolution, I'm obviously going to get it.
Yeah.
But yeah. And also, we didn't mention this. Are you going to get a Revolution?
That is a definite. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Because, I mean,
your reasoning.
The reason why is because Nintendo, they have their franchises. They have Mario. They have Link. They have the new Super Smash Bros. That's coming out, even though I'm not too big into that, because Dire always whips my ass in that all the time. So I know to take my place in the back with that. But, I mean, there are plenty of classic franchises I like. The Virtual Console service that's coming out for the Revolution, I definitely like. And I personally like the iPod-like remote, even without the GameCube-esque controller dock.
Yeah.
You know, I like what it's going to bring to the table, because it's going to bring innovative games.
Well, see, my one problem with it is that I'm probably going to mistake my DVD remote for that every now and then.
Maybe.
And I'm going to start playing the Revolution, and I'm going to realize, wait a second, well, I just selected a menu screen. What the hell is going on, you know?
Right.
And, I mean, it's just... It's at a point where I like the idea of it, but I really don't know if I'm going to be able to get used to it too early. It might take a while. Once I do get used to it, it'll be great, but it's just going to be so different having two pieces of controller in your hand. At least you don't have a giant, like, VR helmet on your head. You know, that's
That'd be horrible. But, I mean, it takes time to get used to new technology. I mean, look at the N64 with the analog remote.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
The analog stick. Now, every single console has an analog stick.
Yeah. I mean, it was a natural adaption, too, because after all the years of having a joystick, you know, an analog stick was just so easy to use.
Yeah.
And I wish more things had a Z button.
Yeah, you too?
Honestly, yeah, because I used to love the Z button. For Hydro Thunder, oh man, that was my game back in the day, man.
Yeah.
Have the boost and the Z button and all there. For Mario Kart also, the Z button was basically accelerate. It was so great. That was the system for racing games.
Oh, definitely.
Honestly, to this day, that was the system for racing
also
games.
Also for first-person shooters, because, I mean, you have that Z button. It was natural that you used it as a gun. I mean, really.
Well, that's why Nintendo are innovators.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation are conformers.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that statement.
And you could tell by the way that they ran back and redesigned a boomerang, because for all we know, it could have felt great.
I don't know. I mean, I said before that the PS2 controller, the DualShock controller, is probably one of the greatest controllers ever made.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, it's great for racing games. It's great for fighting games. I mean, the analogs leave much to be desired. I prefer the Xbox analogs. Yeah. I prefer like the recessed analog instead of like the mushroom type analog that the PS2 has.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a really solid controller. It was very good. It performed well. It was really good.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, the fact that the PS3, the first shot of the boomerang we saw was just a huge boomerang. I'm like, no way, that's not going to work. Hopefully, they redesign it in a way that, you know, it resembles more like the PS2 controller.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I don't know. I love the PS2 controller, but I mean, a lot of people disagree with me. A lot of people would say that the Xbox was a good controller and the PS2 was like, meh. But I mean, it's all a matter of opinion, definitely.
Yeah, well, that first Xbox controller was a monstrosity.
Oh, you mean the herky jerky?
Yes, the fatty.
No, actually, Microsoft has officially called it the Duke.
Really?
That's the name of it.
The Duke.
The Duke.
I could see that because it does actually look like a Duke.
Yeah.
You know, like the fat Dukes that you would see back in like the Middle Ages and all that.
Some people actually prefer the Duke to the controller S, which
really?
Is the smaller standard type controller that you see in the Xbox.
Well, it's just so, like, okay, if the Xbox takes 8 men to lift, that controller takes 2.
The thing about it was like, it was so big and then you have the huge garish green spot.
Yeah.
With the Xbox logo, and it's not like if you pressed it, it didn't do anything. It was just for show.
There.
It was just a logo.
Yeah.
At least now with the Xbox 360, like the X logo is actually a button, and it's context sensitive. It can do different things. If you hold it down, you have the option to turn off the system. If you press it, you can just. I mean, if a friend is online while you're online, mm-hmm. it'll go to your friends list. Or if you press it, you can select personal options. And
similar
stuff.
How the analogs had buttons inside of them for the PS2.
Yes.
Yeah. Only a bit more stylized than that because it would. Mind you, to this day, I think it would have been totally awesome if you were able to, you know, press down both of them at the exact same time to shut off your system.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be really nice. In fact, PlayStation 3, that'd be nice. Yeah, hey, good ideas, folks. There you go. Yeah, all right. So you've had your time. Time for mine. Wind up time here on Geek Speak, where I switch things over from the geek side of things to the sports side of things. And on today's show, one thing I need to mention, the New Jersey Nets. Now, the Nets were doing such an amazing job a couple of weeks back. They were on about a 15-game winning streak going into the playoffs. And now all of a sudden, they can't buy a bucket. It disappoints me. It really does. Sure, they're still winning some games, but they're losing games they really, really should win. Now, some people might say, well, Ian, they're getting ready for the playoffs. Of course, they're not going to play hard. And I say, screw you. It's as simple as that. When you are going into the playoffs, you need to play as hard as you have been playing all year long. Because if you lay yourself back, you're going to go into the playoffs feeling really laid back. You're going to get cocky. You're going to lose. It is as simple as that. It happened to the Yankees once upon a time. It happened to the Mets once upon a time. It happened to the Knicks so many times. I can't even mention them without puking. And now it will happen again to the Nets if they don't shape up. Vince Carter has had an amazing season leading this team. Jason Kidd, excellent job stepping down and letting Vince Carter run the show. And when he's had to, Jason Kidd has stepped it up. But still, I need to see more out of this team to make me feel they will be able to compete with the West come playoff time. Will they make it to the finals? I think they probably will because the rest of the league doesn't exactly look too strong. But still, I need more. So do the fans. So do the players. And so does the team. So maybe, just maybe, this week, I'll see a little bit more out of the Nets, and I'll be a happy camper, instead of a guy sitting here ranting about a team that is number one in the East. That was the wind-up. Now here's the pitch every single Monday from 3 to 4 here on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. You can hear me, Ian Levinstein, along with Jason Green, Joey Maggs, the ghost of Michael Hornstein, the ghost of American society, and the ghost of Bill Clinton's presidency on the sporting goods. The email address for GeekSpeak is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's SPEAKGEEKSPEAK @gmail.com. Don't forget to check out those forums at speakgeekspeak.com/forums. And don't forget to vote for us on Podcast Alley. The links are on the show notes and at the main page. Marvin, it has been a pleasure, my
friend. Definitely. Can I plug my podcast?
Yes, but no, I'm going to end this show without you plugging anything. Come on, man. What kind of a host would I be?
Redshiftradio.com. Tune in. We record every Sunday night. Tune in for video game news and just gaming banter in general. If you have any comments or questions, definitely please email me at mailback@redshiftradio.com. Yes, I have my own email address and everything like that. And once again, redshiftradio.com. Hope you guys listen.
Yes, and I hope you guys listen too, because it's a damn good podcast and it is up on iTunes, so you can do a search for Redshift and it'll show up, correct?
Correct.
Excellent. And yeah, remember, tell your friends, folks, okay? And also, people who listen to Redshift on a regular basis, who are listening to this episode just to hear him, keep listening to me after this. I'm a cool guy. Well, there you have it. Episode 32 of Geek Speak in the bag. For Marvin, I am Ian Levenstein. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. Enjoy your geek. Would you look at this? We're actually getting a phone call. Let's see if there's actually somebody on the line or whether it's just the phone's acting up.
This is the first time I've ever seen the board
fantastic.
Flash.
And that is called working with Brooklyn College Radio. The boards light up. Nobody home. Fantastic.
Story of my life.
Yes, indeed. And now I'm getting a phone call. What is up with this? This is absolutely insane. This is the first time this has ever happened.
All this stuff is probably getting edited out.
It's my father. Wow, fantastic. That's great. This is going to be on the blooper reel, folks. Get back to your music. It's time to speak geek with the geeks. Gaming, tech, news, and more here on Geek Speak. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Let's geek out, everybody.